Matthew 22:35-40. So one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment is the law is the greatest? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The word of God for the people of God.
All right. Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you here. Happy New Year. It's January 2nd, the first Sunday of the year, and it's so great to be here with you. All right, so with it being a new year, we thought it would be a good time to kind of review our mission statement and just make sure that we're all kind of staying true to the vision. So what is it that we say at Grace Christian Fellowship that we are to do? There we go. I had a feeling somebody would know over here. So love, grow, and go. We're going to be talking about what that means this month. It's easy to say, it's easy to remember, right? We can all, it doesn't have to take any memorization. And so that's one of the reasons we chose this for our statement, because you're supposed to have it easy to remember. But that's not just the only reason. It's not just a catchy phrase that we like to say and that sound cool. It's something that we really, really want to do. It's the vision that we believe God gave us, and we need to hold on to that vision, or we will lose our way. We'll just kind of not know where we're headed, what we're supposed to be doing as a church. So we're going to review then this month how we want to hold on to that and what it means and try to make it really practical. So today we're talking about the first word, which is love. The scripture was read where Jesus said the most important commandment is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. We've heard that lots of times, and it's like, yes, we know we need to love God. So we need to make sure we hold on to that, though, and really know what it means and really do it. Love is the first and most important word. Jesus said it was the most important commandment. It's the first word in our vision statement. And so we want to love God and love one another. I'm going to be talking this morning a little bit about how we can do that as individuals. But first, I want to mention that at Grace, we have a corporate way that we really want to use to encourage that happening. And that is our Sunday morning services. Here, whether you're online or whether you're here in person, our goal is to draw near to God. As we worship, our songs are meant, a lot of times they're prayers to God, and they're meant to help us to focus on Him and draw close to Him. As we listen to the sermons, we're wanting to learn more about God and learn to know His heart for us, and just let the whole thing be something that draws us closer to God and to loving God. So we want to take a little time this month also to recognize some people. So I'm going to start, before I get into it anymore, just talk a little bit about what it takes to really run our services. So first of all, we have our worship team, which is headed up by Anya. Different people, we have a different smaller teams each week that are leading in the worship time, the music. But Anya heads it up, and so all of those people are important. We have to come early to practice. We have to learn new songs, and so it's just all part of being part of the worship team. Then we have Tony, who leads our media team, and there's quite a bit of stuff going on behind the scenes. He's in charge of sound, which really is important to have a good sound, otherwise it's distracting. We have a camera person, and if we didn't have that, we wouldn't be able to go on Facebook Live. We have also somebody who moderates Facebook and says, you know, hi, welcome, glad you're here. And then also PowerPoint, making sure the words are on the screen. So all those things are part of our media department. And then we also have ushers and greeters, and they do everything from come early to sanitize and make coffee so it's ready when you get here. And then they greet people at the door, and if there's new people, kind of direct them to the welcome table. And then also we have the welcome table person. And then we also have somebody who cleans up at the end. Otherwise, things you'd see like mold in the coffee, you know, filter thing. And so all of these things are important, and they're not super noticeable, but they're all important. And then we have somebody who says, sets up communion when it's a communion Sunday. And so all of these people together help to make our Sunday service run as smoothly as possible to facilitate loving God and knowing God. So I'm going to just read off a bunch of people's names because we just wanted to recognize people this month. And these are the people who do all of those tasks and jobs. And some of them do more than one, but I just wanted you to know who they are. So they're all alphabetical, just so you know, that's how I wrote them down. There's Anya Schaun. That's not alphabetical. Your name is A, but all the rest are alphabetical by last name. Yeah. That is so funny. Okay. Carlos Baca, Laura Baca, Jim Burdett, Kelly Coho, and Sarah Coho, Joe Cross, Michelle Cross, Ken Davis, Eric Followell, Sissy Guys, Tony Guys, Jeremy Jackson, Timothy Jackson, Doreen Kristen, Susie Kristen, Tim Kristen, Dean Lundborg, Joe McKenner, Robert Mesa, Kathy Millis, Arthur Morales, Mark Newberg, Sean Ray, Todd Ray, Carol Rogers, Barb Spady, Rick Spady, John Stewart, and Maria Swan. That's a lot of people, isn't it? Yes. And thank you to all of you. You know when I read your name what it is that you do, and for those of you that are online, that's great. Thank you, all of you who do something. It just takes a lot of us to make things really go smoothly. Otherwise, the pastoral team would be run ragged. And so we're very grateful for all of you giving your time and your talents. And then just one other thing that we do that Anya mentioned is our time of worship and prayer called Thirst. And it's just, that's another way that we want to help you grow in your love for God. And it's not as structured as she said. And you don't have to feel like you have to come and pray out loud if you're uncomfortable with that. But you can just come and be in the presence of God. And you never know what God might say to you or to us as a group. It's just a really special time. I wanted to read a scripture that kind of makes me think about thirsting for God. Psalm 63:1 says, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." So if you've ever felt parched and dry and thirsty, come to Thirst. Maybe this week you should try it out. So just wanted to mention that. So we say we are to love, grow, and go, and we want to actually do that. And our times together are opportunities to connect with God on that level. So what does it really mean to love God and love our neighbor? We say it, but what does it really mean? I think in some ways it's easier to understand what it means to love other people. Not maybe to do it exactly, but it seems clear. To love others is to treat people kindly, to maybe do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so we know what that means. We can tell if we're not loving somebody when we're treating them badly. And so it's kind of clear what it means to love one another. Kelly preached about loving others in our Advent series when we talked about hope, peace, joy, and love, and really challenged us as to what that means, how we love one another, and how Jesus, when he fills us, he came to give us those things, and love is something that we share with others. And there are many ways we can do that. Today I want to focus a little more. He talked about loving others. Today I really want to focus on what it means to love God. How do we do that? It's the first and greatest commandment. But does it just mean we just do a bunch of right things and we make him happy because we are going to just be obedient? What does it really mean? What does it mean to love God? And the first thing that is good for us to realize, or that we need to realize, is that it all starts with God. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." That's where it starts. God's love is so amazing, so huge. We can't even comprehend it. We say we know God loves us, but we can't really comprehend it. But we love because he first loved us. That's the only way that we are even capable of loving. I think we all know that God loves us. We know it in our heads, but do we really know it in our hearts? We've heard John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." Obviously, God loves us. Jesus came and died for us. It's obvious. We know he loves us. right? We say we know that. Another verse that's kind of along the same lines, Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That's amazing. While we were enemies of God, he loved us and reached out with that love in an amazing way. And then John 15:13 says, "No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends." So Jesus showed us the greatest love possible by giving his life for us. So the Bible is full of verses about God's love. I just barely touched the surface. There are so many verses about God's love. No one has ever shown greater love than God has. But sometimes we find it hard to really believe this and to really know it. It's not really in our hearts. It's more just in our heads. I know for me, when I do something wrong or somebody doesn't like something I've done or said, somebody else feels badly towards me or I made a mistake, anything, it's really easy for me just to kind of beat myself up and to feel bad about myself. And then I feel like God is the same way. It's hard for me to really know his love in times like that. When everything's going well, it's easier. Or when you're going through a struggle of some kind or suffering, sometimes it's hard to really know, to really, really know that God loves us. And sometimes, kind of a lot of it stems from the fact that our earthly parents just weren't perfect in their love for us. No parent is perfect. I am not a perfect parent by any means. And so we get a skewed sense of love, because our earthly parents are a reflection of God in our lives as our parent or parents. And so we just have a hard time. We don't quite get it. There's no perfect example of God's love for us. And so how can we learn to know his love so that we then will have his love to love others? So how do we know if other people love us? Think of just a relationship that you have. Could be with a friend even, or a spouse, or a parent, or a child, or whatever. How do you know that somebody loves you? It doesn't happen like right when you first meet. Like maybe with a parent to a baby, that would be the only time I'd say probably, yeah, I know I love this infant. But most of the time, it takes time. You meet someone and you just meet them. They're an acquaintance, and then you spend a little time and you become friends. Next thing you know, you're getting a really close bond and you love them. And they maybe say something or do something that lets you know that, yes, they love you too. So it grows as your relationship grows. I remember when Kelly and I first started noticing each other, we just kind of thought, oh, it's kind of a nice person. And so, but we didn't really love each other yet. But we started doing things together. Our feelings got stronger and stronger. And then we started trying to find any excuse to be together. And it just got stronger and stronger. And eventually it developed into a love that became a commitment for a lifetime. And it keeps growing stronger and deeper as we get to know each other more and more. And so love grows as our relationships grow. So we need to get to know someone to really be able to know and love them. It doesn't happen when you first meet. It takes time. Jesus prayed a very interesting prayer about knowing God. In John 17:3, he says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent." We think about eternal life. We know that when we give our life to the Lord, he gives us eternal life. That's what John 3:16 says, right? So most of the time we think of that as going to heaven eternally, forever. But the emphasis here is on something very different. Jesus says, eternal life, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. So it's not just that we're going to heaven when we die. That's kind of a benefit, an end result. But eternal life, real true life, actually is knowing God. So what does that mean? How do we know God? What is all this about? Some of you know that I went to Youth with a Mission when I was a young adult, and that's where Kelly and I met. And I had grown up in the church all my life. I remember having to fill out the application form and explain what my relationship with God was like. And I thought it was pretty strong. I had never really rebelled. And I knew I wanted to give my life in service for God. I wanted to go into missions and do what I could for God. So that's why I went and thought that I was just going to be this, you know, evangelist for God. Well, I got there, and the very first week, there was a guy who spoke. And he spoke about knowing God. And he talked about how Moses was called the friend of God. And it blew my mind. I'd sung songs like "The Greatest Thing in All My Life is Knowing You," and I thought it was a boring song and didn't even really think about it. And all of a sudden, I was faced with this idea or this thought of knowing God and being God's friend and that being the most important thing. So I thought I was there to serve God and to do great things for God. And really what he wanted was me and my friendship. I'd never really thought of that before. So that grew into a journey for my whole life of getting to know God. So I want to read something from a book. It's called Companionship with God, written by Jan Johnson. It's actually a book that's free online if you're interested. I could let you know. But in this book, the author writes or asks a hypothetical question. It relates to marriage, but I think we can all kind of just see how it could relate to any relationship. So which would you choose? Scenario one, being involved in a marriage in which you and your spouse interact and enjoy each other. You learn from your spouse. You can go to your spouse and talk about anything, and you two do things together. That sounds like a great relationship and a healthy marriage, one that any one of us would want to be in. So that was the first scenario. Scenario two, being involved in a marriage club in which you don't live with your spouse, but once a week you go and hear about how wonderful marriage is, and someone even explains to you how wonderful your spouse is. On the best days, you maybe even sit next to your spouse for a minute or two. But mostly you just hear from someone else who knows your spouse. You go home and think, I'm so glad I know this person who has a dynamic, thriving relationship with my spouse. That sounds kind of ridiculous, right? But I think you can maybe get the point. Sometimes that's what we do. We talk about having a personal relationship with God. And then we come to church and listen to someone explain what God is like. And we think how great it is to hear from someone who has such a dynamic, thriving relationship with God. But that's not knowing God. That's learning about God. That's learning from someone else who knows God or seems to know God. And we can learn good things and it can be helpful, but we need to know God for ourselves. Sometimes we think this whole thing of becoming a Christian is like a contract we make with God. We do certain things and he does certain things. So I'll read one more clip from the same book. When some Christians talk about having a personal relationship with God, what they really mean is an arrangement. The arrangement often goes something like this. If I feel badly about things I've done wrong and accept a certain set of beliefs about sin and atonement and my need for a savior, then in return, God will allow me to go to heaven when I die. And in gratitude for that offer on God's part, I will try to live better and be a good person. I think that sometimes, maybe we don't start out that way, but sometimes that's kind of the feeling we have. If we feel badly enough about the things we've done wrong and we have a certain set of beliefs, we'll get to go to heaven and we'll try to live and follow God and do the right things. But that's not a relationship, right? It's more like a legal agreement or a contract. A relationship involves personal interaction, ongoing connection, and shared life experiences. Think about someone you have a good relationship with. You talk with them, you spend time with them, you like being with them. I don't want to have a legal contract with God. I want to have a relationship with him, and I want to know him. So let's talk about how we can actually do that. Some of the problem, I think, is that we can't actually see God. We can see other people, and we know how to kind of develop relationships, some better than others. But how do we get to know someone we can't see? How do we do this? We can learn all sorts of things about God through reading the Bible. We can learn about his nature, his creativity, his attributes, and his love, but not really truly know him. We just learn a lot about him. So knowing God is more than just knowing facts about him. It's walking through life together. It's talking with him, being with him, and knowing his love in our hearts, not just our heads. So I want to talk about some ways that our relationship with God can grow. And some of these are like the typical thing, but I just want you to maybe think about it and just see if God is drawing you to something a little bit more in how he wants you to grow in really knowing him. These are ways that they're not the duties that we do, but they're just ways that open up our hearts to then receive from God. So all the things we do that are called spiritual disciplines or graces or whatever you call them, they're not meant for us to strive to please God or to reach God in our own strength. They're designed to open us up for him to show himself to us. So the first thing I want to talk about is scripture, right? We all know we should read our Bibles. But there is a way of reading that's not just checking off on a list, like going through the Bible in a year. And I actually like to do that. It's a good thing to do, to just read and to kind of get an overall picture of the Bible. But there's another way to read and to just sit and think about a certain section of scripture and just allow it to kind of just, I don't know, fill our minds, think about it. Meditate is the word that we see in scripture to describe that. And then you just ask God to help you to understand it and to hear from him what he might say. Journaling can be a good thing to do along with that. So it's an old-fashioned term for this. It's called Lectio Divina. And you can look up online some patterns to follow if you need a help to do that. But it can be a really helpful way to kind of have something to follow. There's also an app called Lectio 365 that Kelly and I listen to pretty much every day. And it's really a useful tool that helps us to listen to scripture and to think about it a little deeper. Another helpful way to read the Bible is to read the Gospels and to read about Jesus, because he came to show us the Father. And imagine that you are there. Kind of try to think about, what would it be like if I was here? So I was kind of encouraged to do this, and I decided to take the book of Matthew, and I went through it and tried to imagine like I was hearing this for the first time, reading it for the first time, and just thinking about what was happening. And so the first thing that I noticed, which I'd never done before, I imagined I was there, and I thought about the Pharisees, and I thought, you know, if I lived in this time, I would have really looked up to the Pharisees. They looked very spiritual. I mean, before Jesus came and started calling them brood of vipers and things like that, they just seemed very spiritual. They followed all the rules, which to me seems really, really good and holy and right. And so I would have looked at those Pharisees and gone, wow, they are just the epitome of spirituality. And then Jesus came and just started cutting through the outside and showing what their hearts were really like. And I think I would have actually been a little shocked and maybe like worried about this Jesus person if I heard him doing that at first anyway. And so that kind of opened my eyes up to see how Jesus kind of cuts through the outside and how obeying all the rules isn't the answer to being close to him. I also noticed in a new way how Jesus was so loving and compassionate on outcasts and people who were marginalized, but especially even those who didn't have much faith or said, help my unbelief. He didn't kind of say, oh, you don't have enough faith, you're gone. You know, he didn't do that. He was so kind to them. And sometimes I found myself in that place of struggling with faith and then realized how Jesus was the same toward me. And then one other thing that I remember from reading through Matthew in that way was noticing the claims that Jesus made about himself and realizing he really did claim to be God, and the way that people reacted towards him. You know, we hear people say, oh, he was a good person, people who aren't believers. He was a good person, a prophet kind of a person. But you read, and he knew who he was. He was God, the Son of God, come in the flesh to save us. And so that just became like a new revelation for me. And so that's just one way that you can read scripture and kind of ask God to make it come alive to you and show you his heart even more. And in John 14:9, Jesus said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So we can learn what the heart of the Father is like through reading about Jesus. He is a very, very beautiful, wonderful picture of God. So let God bring life to the words as you read them. Don't just read to just check it off on a list. And don't be afraid to take a little time. Sometimes we don't read because we're not sure where to start or, you know, there's all kinds of helps for that. But just read a little bit and think about it and let God reveal his heart to you through his word. Another thing, this is kind of, I don't know if it's very often considered a spiritual discipline or something, but for me, it's been really helpful, and that is listening to worship songs. Sometimes we fill our minds with all kinds of other things, and I found that when I meditate on songs that a lot of times are from Scripture, and if I have that kind of music going, it helps me to turn my thoughts towards God. And there are times when I'm going through a difficult time, and I'll have songs that I've memorized. I memorized hymns when I was younger. They come to me, and they just bring such comfort to my heart and just bring God closer. It's how I feel. And so helps me to know his heart. So I find that immersing myself in the things of God, it could be worship songs, scriptures that I've written out or posted, watching even a Christian movie. Sometimes it just really encourages your faith, or reading an uplifting book or a Christian book, or talking to a Christian friend or a counselor or a spiritual director, all these kinds of things. Instead of filling our minds with all kinds of distractions, those things can help us to draw closer to God and to just understand a little more of who he is and draw close to him. Sometimes we are so distracted by so many things. And let's just make room in our hearts and take a little time and fill our minds and our hearts with the things of God. Another way that we can learn to know God, this is the least fun of all of them, is through difficult times. And some of you may remember our series on lament that we did last year through the series, the Lent series. And hard times are never fun. We all experience them, though, one way or another. At some point in our lives, we go through, and we kind of go up and down. There's periods of consolation and desolation, as in the old terms that have been used. So when we go through those times, let it be an opportunity to draw closer to God and get to know him more. God wants us to be honest with him so we can pour out our hearts, tell him how we feel. Sometimes as I've been going through a difficult time, I find myself just pouring my heart out to God. And then it's like I can feel my spirit clinging to him because I don't know what else to do. This is so difficult. And then it's like I sense the pleasure of God in my clinging to him. You know, it's just kind of an amazing thing. And so don't let the hard times be wasted. Don't try to get away from them. Don't try to ignore them or try to make things get better as soon as possible. Kind of embrace them and draw closer to God through them and allow them to be used for good in your life, in your relationship with God, to really know him better and to know his love more. So finally, just another thing we can just do is just ask God. Just tell him, God, I want to know you more. I want to know your love more, and I don't know how to do it. I remember one time in my life, I think it's when we had a lot of little kids running around and I was very busy, and I just didn't even want to pick up my Bible. It was just like a distraction to me for all the things I needed to do. I didn't want to spend time praying because it was just like, I don't have time for this, you know? And so I didn't even really want to have quiet times. And so I remember praying and just telling God, honestly, God, I don't even want to spend time with you right now. But I deeper inside, I knew that I did. My emotions didn't want it, but deeper inside, I did. And I said, God, please do something to stir up the desire in me. So we can ask God, and we can be so honest with him. And he did. I can't even remember when it changed, but he did. He put more of a desire in my heart, and I spend more time with him now than I did then, for sure. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will let myself be found by you, declares the Lord. God wants to show himself to you. He wants relationship with you more than anything. That's why you were created. So seek him, and he promises that you will find him. Paul had a pretty good idea about the importance of knowing God. He said in Philippians 3, 7 through 8, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing value or worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ." Amen. Wow. Do we feel like that? Everything besides knowing Jesus is garbage? Think of all the things that are important to you. There's a lot of things in my life that I don't consider garbage. But compared to Jesus, they actually are. Because relationship with him is going to last forever. But everything else in our life is going to be gone like garbage. So have you ever received something from God? Think back to when you had an experience with God. It might have been recent or whenever, something that happened, and how it just brought such fulfillment in your life. And we don't just do it so that we'll have peace and joy, but that's the natural outcome. But knowing God brings us this sense of rightness and just a deep fulfillment. And all the other things we do that are fun for a while, they never bring that sense deep in our hearts. And so the other things can just be a distraction and can be something that draws us away from the thing that is the most important thing. Everything else pales in comparison to knowing God, and we need to hold on to that vision, because if we don't hold on to it, we will lose our way. It is the most important thing. And as we get to know God, we realize that something else starts to happen. The second commandment that Jesus gave, to love others as we love ourselves, this becomes an outflow of knowing God's love. When we know God's heart and his love, we start to sense his love for others. We start to see how he sees them. And that opens us up to a whole new level of being able to love. And it becomes easier to love as he loves when we see his heart. So that's just another reason, and it's just kind of the natural way of things then, the way to follow those two commandments. But it all starts with God. He loved us first. So let's hold on to the vision. Let's remember that loving God is the most important thing. And as we learn to know God, we will learn to truly know his love for us. And then we can love him and love others. We're going to take communion today, and as we do, I want to invite you to think about a few things. First of all, think about what we are commemorating, and that is the love that Jesus showed to us in the death that he died for us. So this can be a time to sit and meditate on that. Think about his love. Think about what his love means and what he did for us. As we eat the bread and drink the cup, that reminds us of his body and his blood that was shed for us. I also want to invite you to think about how you want to grow. Maybe think about some of the things that I mentioned and just see if there's one thing that God's calling you to. Wherever we are in our relationship with him, you might feel like you know God to a certain degree. I feel like I know God better than I used to, but I have so much farther and deeper that I can go. And so there's more of God than we can ever comprehend. So we all need to continue seeking to know him more. Maybe just ask him for help. Just pray that prayer and say, "God, I want to know you and I don't know how, so please help me." Maybe make a commitment to immersing yourself more in things that will draw your heart towards him and not the things that just distract you. Maybe reading your Bible more slowly and meditating on what it says and what God might be saying to you through it. Maybe it's pressing into the difficult times and really asking God to do something deeper in you to draw you close to him. Maybe it's just something like coming to Thirst this Friday and just see what God might say and do in your life through that. God wants you to know his love. He really does. He wants you to know him. That's the most important thing to him, and that's what you were created for. I want to close with one more verse from 1 Peter 1:8. It says, "And though you have not seen him, You love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. I love this verse. Though you have not seen him, you love him. I want that to be my life. I want to love him. And one day we will see him, but right now we don't. So we have to kind of struggle through and do what we can, open our hearts to him and ask him to show himself to us. So as we start to worship, I invite you to come and take the communion elements. You can just take them back to your seat. You can come up to the front and pray. You can pray at your seat. You can ask someone to pray with you. But just commit yourself to something that you're going to do to know God and his love in a deeper way. We can love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, even if we can't see him. May God help us to do so. Let's pray. God, we need you so much. We need you, Lord, to show yourself to us. We need to know you. We need to know your love in a deeper way. And we just come to you now and just say, we're just human. We're flesh and blood. There are so many things that distract us so easily. We don't have enough strength. We don't have enough of anything in us to draw near to you and to have a better relationship with you. But Lord, help us to do our part. Help us to open our hearts and come and show yourself to us. Help us to know your love. Help us to really believe and know the words that we sing. Lord, we sing such amazing things about you, and sometimes they're just words that rattle off our tongue. But Lord, let it be really from our hearts, and let us meditate on who you are and learn to know you in a deeper way and to know your love in a deeper way. So help us. We need you. We look to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.